Hello there. Welcome to the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Things. We're recording 6 miles south of Jersey on Le Minguiese, I think, with some inkies, in legit hot sun. I've lost my mind, it's so hot.
And your shirt.
And my shirt. It won't be on Instagram because...
You don't want to know what I'm looking at
like
right now, dear
fans.
Listener.
We get some different type of fans, though. People that were into bears. This month, we are talking about a tech segment which begins with S. Would you search engines? Nailed it. I'm drinking BrewDog. As you might have guessed, Rob is currently drinking Doombar. And our producer is Captain Stern Thruster. This is Search Engines. Baby!
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
So yeah, we're talking about search engines. Engines that search. Engines
like
of
Thomas
the
Tank Engine that's lost his sandwiches.
Yeah, where are they? I'm searching for them. Gordon's like, not helping because like, he's a cock.
It's like the third Thomas the Tank Engine reference I've made today. What's wrong with me? I'm missing a simpler time.
Speaking of a simpler time, let's go back to 1989, shall we?
Do you think if you had a dick big enough, Thomas the Tank Engine could suck you off?
Let's go back. let's please go back to 1989. Please. The origins of the search engine. We're talking about web search engines. So these are search engines that search the web.
Nailed it. I'm with you so far.
Good. Hi. Quite warm out here.
It is.
Yeah.
What do they say about mad dogs and Englishmen?
Yeah, well, apparently we're both. So, back in 1989, the web hadn't even been invented yet.
Yeah.
So, initially what we had was a service that basically searched a whole bunch of internet user directories.
Right.
And this service was called the NoBot Information Service, or KISS for short.
Hang on. The NoBot Information Service.
No, as in knowledge.
No, I know.
Yeah, okay, just checking.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Where's that B gone, though? If we're talking about bots.
It was also known as NetAddress, apparently, because they couldn't bother to name it once. They had to name it twice.
So good they named it twice.
And this searched a whole bunch of different services across a whole lot of different servers, because we're pre-web, but post-internet. Mm-hmm. The internet is a thing. And this included services such as Whois, which is used to determine who owns a given domain. X500, which is a lightweight directory service.
And a Mazda.
Precursor of LDAP.
Motorbike.
MCI, which was a mail service.
Massive chicken indigo.
Ingots.
Keep going.
Ingots. And, you like this one, Finger.
How do I know who he is? I don't know. Finger him.
Pretty much. Finger was used
yes!
as an identification
this
system.
This podcast has come to its peak. This is the last episode, I'd like to announce.
Okay, so, the 1990s, we're still pre-web, right?
Yep.
And a lot of content was provided via a system called FTP, File Transfer
Protocol.
Wow.
I know that. Jesus, it is
One of the things about FTP is that it basically, the first thing it gives you is a list of files that are in a given folder.
Right.
Except we don't call them folders, they're directories, because we're not noobs using Windows XP. Or, in this case, Windows 3.1.
I've got 10, so
yeah,
guess I'm no noob.
Yeah, but you still call it a folder.
It's because you click and it says new, and then you click on it, and the thing you choose is folder.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. They're directories.
Sure they are.
Anyway, so we got a list of files that were in a folder slash directory.
Sure.
And we had basically a whole bunch of systems that would index those lists so that you could search for a file and it would tell you exactly which server it was on and which folder structure it was located within.
It's Control F, basically.
Yeah.
Cool.
So one of the earliest search engines that was kind of Control F-ing was called Archie.
Archie.
It was technically, it was archive, but without the V. Because
clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. People that call them folders,
well,
those are the dickheads.
They were computer science students at McGill University. This is Alan Emtage, Bill Heelan, and J. Peter Deutsch.
J.Peter Dudge?
Yeah, because this is actually created in Quebec.
Nice, Quebecois.
This is the McGill University in Montreal.
Okay.
Nice. And they would go off once a month to these FTP servers, download all the files and index them locally so that they could be searched by using a tool that was basically an interface onto something called grep.
Right.
Grep is general regular expression. You don't really need to know that. The only reason I mention it is because the nerds who are listening, hey nerds, will be like, I know grep. That's the thing.
Don't the nerds that listen to us just tear their hair out every week?
Yeah, pretty
much.
/
month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, again, this one's for my nerd homies. Connections to search this were actually made via a system called Telnet.
Right.
Which nobody uses anymore.
Is that
it's
a network
insecure.
On the telephone?
It's basically a system whereby you can connect to a remote server, send it commands, and it sends you responses.
Mm-hmm.
But it does it all with no authentication. It's completely unencrypted.
Right.
The internet in the 90s was a simpler time, man.
It was.
Yeah. There were no dogs on the internet in the 90s.
And there were no...
There was a lot of porn.
No pedos.
In text form. There were probably pedos.
God. I'm sorry. Can we go back? I want to cut that bit out.
Nope.
Shit.
Before the web... Do you know what came before the web?
The war. The human-machine war.
Dum-dum-dum-da-dum. Dum-dum. Before the web, the World Wide Web, was actually invented...
Was it like
was,
the America Wide Web?
It's AOL.
The Paris Wide Web.
No, there was actually an attempt to build a kind of constructed, navigable index of things that was referred to as Gopher.
Right, because you'd go for it.
Exactly.
But
they
call them gophers in film as well, that's why I understand that.
And Gopher, hilariously, it's a whole different episode. So if we ever cycle back to G, we can maybe do it, except the guys will probably vote for Goatsy or something. The general principle that they had was solid. It was a web.
Right.
The only reason Gopher isn't around anymore is because the web was invented and Gopher went commercial.
Set out.
Yeah. But Gopher had a need for search engines.
It had a need. A need for... If I keep doing this, we're going to be here all day. I'm sorry, keep going.
And one of the first ones that was invented for Gopher was inspired by Archie,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually called Veronica.
Right. Oh, right, yeah. Archie and Veronica. Very good.
Yeah.
So was there one called Betty?
No. Released in November 92, and it indexed all the items on the GopherNet.
Right.
That was a thing. Veronica, can you guess what this stands for? You're not going to guess.
Very...
Is right.
Online.
E is the next word, dude. Veronica. V-E-R.
Yeah, very.
Very.
On. Oh, it's a little V-E-R. It's not from. No, I can't then. I can't
right.
guess.
It is the very easy rodent-oriented gopher.
Just gopher.
Net-wide index Jeez. To computerized archives.
These guys. Fuck.
I don't know. No, no. Anyway.
It sounds very easy.
And then, of course, in 1993, we have Jughead.
Do you seriously? No, it's a wind-up. It's a Eiffel Tower!
Nope.
Oh, God help me.
This is a legit thing.
And that stands for Just Ugly Girls Have Easy
Access.
Armadillo Diaphragms.
No, because it was actually written by a guy called Rhett Jonesy Jones, who was enrolled at the University of Utah. So it actually stands for Jonesy's Universal Gopher Hierarchy Excavation and Display.
No, it stands for Jughead, and he rammed words to make it fit a theme, didn't he?
Yes,
let's
did.
Be real.
Yeah. Right. 1991 to 1993.
Super Mario Brothers was made.
And something else was made.
Jurassic Park. The internet. Tim Berners-Lee, he
yes!
made a thing.
Yes! We're back to TBL. But it's not even tenuous this time, because he's actually involved in this particular technology.
Finally. Wheels within wheels, we finally come back.
He's building the web.
Yep.
And he thinks we need a directory.
I mean, to be fair...
We need a way to navigate this.
He's got to be able to organise stick pics.
Yeah, I've got
what
so many.
What if he wants to find one from a certain Monday of a certain month?
Just so. So he basically builds something that he refers to as the World Wide Web Virtual Library.
Snappy.
Which is, initially, just him
right.
and the other guys who are working on the web team, but mostly him, building hand-curated directory lists.
Right.
This was actually...
Wow, okay.
Yeah, this was actually still online.
Still a very manual process, then.
Sorry, I couldn't quite hear you.
It's a hand-curated list, so it's still very manual.
It is, very manual. But lots of hands-on action.
Well, it always is in the Bernard Lee household.
Interestingly, that's it. The World Wide Web Virtual Library, or VLIB, as it came to be known.
Yeah, sure, because it was easier.
Stuck
so they ditched the World Wide Web part and they kept the VLIB part?
Well, it was on the World Wide Web. Everything was on the World Wide Web.
Okay.
It stuck around for ages and was only fairly recently decommissioned, like a decade ago or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, until then, they were still chipping away, just keeping it.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Keep it on the DQ. No.
DP. No, wait, what?
Well, again, the Berners-Lee household.
Seriously, they're lovely people.
Who?
The Tim Berners-Lees. The Berners-Lees.
All right.
And they've got lawyers.
Take your word for it.
Which we don't have. The directory concept persisted for ages, right?
Sure.
Because it was a lot easier than actually building a search engine.
Right.
And this brings us into the beginning of the web bubble. So the web becomes a thing.
Right.
Against rhyme or reason. And,
or against anyone's good sense.
Yeah. And as a result, we begin what I suppose could be referred to as the dot-com boom.
Not the dot-com bubble.
No, this is the dot-com bubble. But at the time, they didn't think it was a bubble. They thought it was a boom.
So you don't know it's a bubble till it pops.
Exactly. Some people looking pretty stupid at the end of this segment. Early players.
Mostly me.
Early players in the web search engine space.
Yep.
Were guys like W3 Catalog. There was a system called AniWeb. And a server called JumpStation. Now, these were all released in like 93-ish.
And these are all manual indexing, searching.
No, these are proper search engines. So we'll talk a bit more in a moment about how a search engine actually works.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to that segment, by the way.
You bet you are.
1994... Alta Vista, Lycos, both launch search engines.
I've heard of Alta Vista.
Yeah, you must have heard of maybe you haven't heard of Lycos.
No.
I don't know. And a company called Yahoo.
Yahoo!
I don't know how you're meant to pronounce it, because the exclamation mark, it's
Yahoo.
Like... Am I just meant to shout it?
I think it's Yahoo.
Yo-ho.
Yo!
Anyway, Yahoo launches. Yahoo is a directory.
Right.
At launch, initially, no search at all. It's just a directory of shit.
Right. So they're just downloading everything so that they've got the directory.
Well, no, they've got teams of people who are going off finding cool websites and going, well, that looks like an amazing ornithology website.
Oh, so
we'll
if you
file
type
that
in birds,
under ornithology.
Oh, so it's not actually searching everything on the web, it's just searching what they've cultivated.
Well, that's the difference between a directory and a search engine, as
sure.
We will come on to.
Right. Got my head of the curve.
Yahoo, interestingly, didn't actually launch a full search engine until 2002?
Right. So we're still at 94, you say?
That was 94.
Yeah.
96.
So so this is still just a directory at this point, and now they're not even out of
search. Well, no. Alta Vista was one of the first actual search engines.
Okay.
They had a limited bandwidth. They would accept natural language querying. So
sure.
Where can I get good pizza?
Right, okay, yeah.
Yahoo... reliably known as one of the biggest players in search, mm-hmm. didn't have a search engine in the early 90s. They didn't get one until the early noughties.
Okay.
Yeah. And the one that Yahoo actually got was officially launched in 1996 by a company called Inktomi.
What? Go on.
Why?
I'm making a joke about how it's in Tony.
No, Ink.
Oh, well, then that's not funny, then, is it? Inktomi,
no.
Come on.
You can Inktomi. It's like a tattoo parlor joke.
It's kind of neat. Squid.
Yeah. Inktomi.
It's not even Tony, Jesus.
Had a full search engine, and they actually licensed that search engine to a bunch of people, including Microsoft.
And they created Bing.
Pre-Bing. It was
Name
called MSN
for Chandler.
Search.
Right, okay.
And Microsoft didn't even write the search engine. They just bought one. They just got one off the shelf. They were like, oh, yours is pretty good. Come here.
That doesn't sound at all like Microsoft.
In the 90s? Oh,
I was being facetious.
Sorry, yes. Gotcha.
Sorry, I mean, that doesn't sound at all like Microsoft.
Of course, there is one player that we haven't mentioned yet. Because, to be completely honest, they are going to form... pretty much the baseline for the rest of this conversation.
Ask Jeeves. I've had that myself.
All right, Ask Jeeves were launched in 1997, and they were a rip-off of some other shit. Nobody
were
cares.
They really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, there was... there are two friends, both studying for PhDs at Stanford.
Mr. Goo and Mr. Gull.
Mr. Page and Mr. Brin.
Right.
That's Larry and
Why
Sergei.
Why didn't they call it Pagbrin?
Well...
Riddle me that, Rob.
I think if memory serves, and it has to be memory, because there is no internet here on the Mickey, so I can't check.
Of course.
But the early version of Google was actually called Backrub.
That isn't true.
It is.
Everyone knows it was called Goggle, and they were like, that sounds stupid. And then they changed the
Do you know why Google's Google?
Because they called it Goggle, and then they faxed it to somebody, and the bottom bit of the G didn't come through on the fax machine. And they were like, Google, that sounds good. And then they were like, we really like your idea for this company called Google. And they were like, oh, yeah, that does sound good. We should call it Google instead.
Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, wrong. No.
No.
Right. No, it's a derivation of Google. Which is a scientific word for a very large number.
It's Googleplex. It's Googleplex, isn't it?
Yeah.
Googleplex.
Well, that's also...
Turns out I did know.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, cool.
Do you know where I learned that from?
What?
Numbers! That's why I know what a Googleplex is. Not even joking.
Is there anything about technology that you haven't learned from television or doing this podcast?
There's nothing I haven't learned from television. This. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Does explain why you like Super Mario Brothers. Anyway.
You should watch Numbers. You might learn something.
I watch Numbers. The maths was wrong.
No.
Full on triggered.
Don't say triggered.
Why not?
It just has bad connotations.
Okay.
Of internet badness.
Okay. Well, this is an internet thing.
You know how that triggers me. Okay, moving on.
Moving on. Larry and Sergei build their search engine basically as their doctorate project because they wanted to explore the web using computational tooling.
Okay.
And in 1998, they, because apparently this is what you have to do if you're a tech company, they, I'm not sure if they did actually drop out because they're already at PhD level, so it's kind of like...
No, you have to drop out and then start working out of a garage somewhere.
Well, they did. They started working out of a garage
and
somewhere.
And stealing circuit boards from other computers.
And they released Google.com to the public.
Right.
Originally, it was google.stanford.edu.
Sure.
Because you get free domain names, apparently, if you're at Stanford.
Right. But it was a bit unwieldy.
Google was massive in the late 90s, mostly because all of the other directories and what have you were cluttered, they were busy, they were, in some cases, incredibly shit.
But didn't it read the other directories? So didn't it originally used to search all the other search engines?
No. Google, from the outset, was a pure crawling web search engine.
Okay.
But it had two killer features.
Right.
One of them, which we aren't really meant to talk about today, is the fact that they, as did everybody else, but they controlled advertising on their search results.
Right, okay.
More or less, day one.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was their monetization strategy.
So you type
was,
in pizza, it will give you a list of pizza restaurants, and also it will give you a lot of adverts for pizza ovens or whatevs. Or pizza restaurants.
Yeah, early days of Google, you could actually buy, like, the top
to
results.
Top 10. Yeah, you say you could pay to be top 10 or something.
Which you can't do anymore. You just get put at the top of the page in an ad spot. But anyway. Okay. And the advertising, by and large, and the smartness with which they did the advertising meant that they were able to survive the dot-com crash that occurred about 2-3 years after they launched.
Okay, right.
The other feature that they had was something called PageRank.
Right.
And to get into PageRank, we need to talk a little bit about how a search engine actually works.
Cool. Well, that is why we're here. That and the idyllic weather, beautiful surroundings, cold beer, and great company. And also our producer is here.
Great company, but our producer is here.
We don't need you, we just need what the boat you bought.
It's a nice boat.
It is a nice boat.
Right. How does a search engine work, Mike?
You type a thing in.
Yeah.
Right. Google have literally downloaded the whole internet on an enormous server. They take a snapshot of it. And then, like, but they're constantly updating that snapshot. And then they searches the Google server, and then that gives you a link, and then you go to that link.
Yeah. Closer than I thought.
We talked about it during databases. So I said, does that mean Google has a database of the whole internet? And you were like, yeah, sort of.
So yeah. Fundamentally,
don't have to know the internet, just know enough to bullshit in the pub.
You just have to listen to our podcast. Yeah. And then you have bullshitting rights. Basically, a web search engine is a three-step process.
Right.
And it starts with crawling or spidering the web.
Wasn't it like web crawler search engine?
Yeah.
Right. So it's a clever name.
So it's normally known as spidering because it scutters all over the web.
Nice. Yeah. It's a horrible image, but okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Crawling is
they're
better.
They're not given a lot. No, yeah. You're right. I mean, they're not given a lot to work with.
You know, flies unzipped over broken glass springs to mind, but anyway.
You didn't, but thanks.
So the process of spidering is carried out by what's known as a web search bot. So yes.
That's not what spidering means entirely.
It's a robot spider.
Oh, that is what it means.
And basically what this does is it goes off, it has a list of like URLs or web addresses, right. And it goes off to each of them. It loads the content, so it downloads the web page. And then we kick into the second part, which is the concept of indexing.
Right.
So this is taking what you've got off the internet and basically making it into a searchable thing.
Because if I could ask a question then, it doesn't just search the URL. So if you type in pizza, it doesn't bring up everything that's got pizza in the URL. If you type in something like these two actors acted in a film together, it would bring up the IMDb page where both of those names exist. Because it's a movie website with those actors' names on it.
Well,
like Google does the thing where it says, it'll say three of the things you've mentioned and it'll have the word with the line through it to say, this has got some of that within the text of the web page, but not the third thing.
Yeah, in simple terms, yeah, absolutely. It retrieves the text and it stores it and modifies it in such a way that it can be quickly searched.
So was it initially URL-based and then...
Very, very early days. No, because okay. URL-based stuff is bullshit. You've got to name your files, like, yeah. You know, ridiculously long.
Yeah, sure.
What's interesting about the indexing process is that if it discovers any URLs in the content, so if there are any links in that page,
right.
It gives them back to the spider.
Right.
And the spider then goes off and indexes those pages.
Okay.
So literally, you can start from...
It's a bot version of going through Wikipedia and opening a million tabs.
Yeah.
Of all the different things on
exactly
that page.
Exactly so. Yeah. Except not just Wikipedia. All the external references as well.
Oh, wow.
And all the footnotes.
Right.
The third.
Oh, good. The breadth of this isn't already blowing my mind. Good. Okay.
Oh, you just wait. So the third action, of course, is having crawled around the web. We've got our content that links back to URLs, and we can search it. But we need somebody to actually ask us to look for something. So there's a user interface.
Sure. A UI.
A web form.
Yeah.
That would allow somebody to submit a query, mm-hmm. and then it would take that query, search the index that it's created from the spidered pages, and return results.
Right.
So that's it. In a nutshell, that's how a search engine
works.
Yeah, doddle. There's some shit in there about
why
bee trees and...
This?
I don't know. I ask myself
just
that.
Just in general. No, I'm asking about this podcast. Why do we even bother?
The trouble with the web...
Oh, Jesus, this is going to be a long one. Well, the trouble with the internet is...
There are some complexities.
There are.
So,
some
firstly...
vagaries.
We're dealing with a huge number of websites.
Yeah.
So that URL list, even if you're just going to visit them all and not do anything with the information...
Isn't it also always exponentially increasing?
Yeah.
Like, it's always expanding, right?
We're constantly
changing. It's like the universe.
Well, I mean, there's two bits to it. So, firstly, it's constantly expanding.
Yeah.
Also, pages change. People update Wikipedia articles.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, I mean, previously, it used to say Mike Dean last kicked a table in 1993. Now it will say Mike Dean last kicked a table 30 seconds ago.
That's a nice out-of-context comment for our viewers.
I'm pretty sure that our viewers heard it.
We're on a rickety table on a helipad, and every time I bump the table, you can hear it on the mics.
So some of the initial challenges just to do with scope are, right. How do you find new content?
And don't you have to have a constantly more space to save your index, because it's constantly getting bigger,
yeah.
And a more powerful spider, if you will, to constantly have to
or
go
just
and
more
see
spiders.
One. Oh yeah, that will work. Yeah. Yeah, that's why companies have employees, not employee.
A really good guy. I don't know what we're going to do when Frank retires. He is this firm. Right. The other thing is, how deep do you go?
How deep do you go? Well, balls deep.
Doesn't really have much relevance on the web.
No,
oh, no way.
It was funny, though.
So if you start at the homepage, yep. How far down do you go? If you've got like categories and subcategories and sublinks and what have you,
yep.
Do you index the whole thing? Do you just index the homepage?
I mean, I'm going to say all of it.
Pizza Hut, do you really need to index the fact they have children's parties available for hire on this day?
But if you Google the calorific content of a certain Pizza Hut pizza, it'll tell you. So that means suggests they go all the way down.
They do. They take
down
it all.
Faster than a $10 hooker.
The other thing is, how do you find new content? Because if your spiders are going off and getting linked, what happens if something new pops up and nobody's linked to it yet? How do you know it's there?
So you've got to have your spiders working overtime.
If a blog falls in the woods...
Oh, God. Does anyone care about your pretentious ramblings about Radiohead?
Guarantee the answer to that is...
I've got zero views.
Yes.
I've got zero views.
Somebody on the internet cares.
I've got a Radiohead blog and it's just entry after entry saying, I don't get it. I mean, it sounds good, but am I meant to be... I don't mean...
Next challenge, the data on the web is crap.
True say.
I mean, not the content, that is generally crap, but the
way
it's...
Just look at this podcast.
Exactly. The way it's structured, the way it's built, is terrible. And bear in mind that we get a nice readable form for us as human beings.
Yep.
It's got pictures and shit, and we love it.
Yeah, those are
trying to read that with a computer program is a nightmare.
Well, it's all ones and zeros, isn't it?
It's not even ones and zeros. It's just a mess. Interestingly, there's a programming language called Python, and it has a parsing library for reading web pages. It's called Beautiful Soup, because literally the web is soup.
Sure.
It's just shit floating around.
It's impossible to look at a screen of the internet and see redhead, brunette, blonde.
Yeah. Well, for that, you need the Matrix.
Mate, we are so simpatico. It's really...
The other thing is that you've got stuff that isn't even like web pages. You've got Word documents. You've got PDFs. And you've got pictures.
If you search on Google and look for text, would it find everything with Word documents attached as well? Can it
search
the documents?
Yeah, that took a
well?
Lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine it did.
There's like a whole engineering team.
We're getting really high.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The other thing is that, frankly, as you said before, when you type in a search for like two actors' names in a movie, you get IMDb. You get IMDb not just because it contains both of the content bits, but because there's this concept of inferred context.
Yeah.
So it is known that actually, by virtue of the fact that you asked a question in a certain way about a certain topic, there are certain resources that are considered to be authoritative.
So that is an example, like with the Google search thing that people do all the time, the Wired have a whole series of videos on it. You type somebody's name in, and then it suggests a load of questions because it infers what people have asked. Is that built on experience? This is what people have asked?
Well, it's built on algorithmic understanding. It's built on a whole bunch of stuff. And this is how we know that Mike is short for Micycle.
It's you.
Seriously, go to Google. Mike is short for...
Mike is short. Mike is short. And then Mike is short for Micycle, yeah.
Yep.
It's true. If Mike is short for Bicycle...
Next problem. How do we determine which result is better?
Are you asking me? You can tell me.
I honestly have no idea. Because this is where PageRank came up with one solution, which is if we have two pages, both of which contain the phrase Mike Dean and Rob Dudley,
right,
and drunken idiots.
And the other one says lovers.
No, they contain identical weightings of the same keyword.
Right.
One has to come above the other. Do we go for the oldest page, the one that was around before?
Sure.
Do we go for the newest page because it's more current and fresh? Google's approach to this was part of their PageRank algorithm was to say, well, actually, we can recursively rank pages.
Right.
And based on the number of inbound links to a piece of content,
right,
we will weight it
so
more
it's like,
strongly.
It's like peer review.
Yeah.
So it's like most people cite this as an example, so exactly. We can assume that that is a better...
So it excludes, like, voices crying in the wilderness. Also, what are you talking about? Super Mario Brothers, the movie, was amazing!
I would just like some brownie points for using the phrase peer review on this podcast.
Okay, you can have a...
Clearly I need a beer.
You're not even going to get a fist bump.
I should have said
our producer has just refused to fist bump you. He is, however, indicating that he would fist you. Anyway.
You don't go in. You go in like that.
Next thing. Input.
Yeah.
So you're used to the fact in googly terms. We can pretty much chuck into Google. It's like, what is Mike short for? Right. And that's a natural language query.
Sure.
It's a question with a subject, and it's grammatically and logically parsable.
So it reacts to, like, what, how, why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that frames the context.
Believe it or not, in the terms of computer science, that shit is really hard to do.
I'm not surprised, because we've had this... Well, we've had conversations like this before. You know,
lexical parsing and the ability to transform human language into something that a computer knows how to do.
Yeah.
If you want to say, find documents containing Mike plus Dean, Mike and Dean, not Rob. Yeah. Right? That's easy. Computers do or and all that shit up the wazoo.
That's just like a query you can run on...
Where should I go for dinner in Marseille? And the computer's like, what?
So, yeah, so we used to do dinner Marseille and whack up a load of restaurants in Marseille.
Well, it would be restaurants, Marseille, good.
But does it consider... Okay, this is probably going too far, to be fair. But would it how does it rank the restaurants, then? If you say top 10 restaurants... Oh, no, we'll just give you a list of loads of web pages where it says top 10 restaurants.
Yeah, pretty much.
Google doesn't actually give you a recommendation. It gives you a list
of
web pages.
Well, it kind of does now, because Google have also spun out into the whole review space and what have you. They have that data. Final couple of points...
No.
Performance. Google searches pretty much the entire web, right?
Yes.
Have you ever noticed there's a little counter that says that when you type in a search, it returns not only the number of places, but how quickly it did it?
That's just straight up bragging.
Well, yeah, but it's also like
I get it,
baller.
It's really hard. It's really hard to do, so they should brag. Yeah.
It's like most Google searches return in under a second.
Yeah, that is weird.
How?
There's just loads of spiders type in really fast.
That's it.
I'm understanding this, right?
Yeah, totally. And by and large, if you want to launch a search engine these days, and why would you? Because that market's kind of sewn up. But you would have to make sure that you can index, return, and what have you. Under a second is insane.
Yeah.
For that quantity and breadth of data. How they do that, God only knows.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm actually just trying to imagine how, but I honestly, it's beyond...
Well, even if I give you, like, a book with an index in it and told you to find me
the
page that talks about robots, it's going to take you more than a second. And the pages stuck together. The final problem that search engines have is they're automated. Therefore, they are subject to abuse. And how is it that Google manages to not be evil?
It doesn't. It's terrible. I mean, they are really, really bad. I mean, I love them. Give me some money.
It's right. We're on a data-free island. We are off the grid.
Yeah, technically, it's international law right here. I can't wait to murder a producer.
It's not. This is part of Jersey.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
How far do we have to go?
About...
Like 10 feet.
I was going to say about 6 foot that way.
Just push him down the toilet.
No, backwards. By the time he further, skids down further back, further back, and he's in the sea. Now, the not being evil thing is interesting because one of the things that Google did with PageRank was they said, well, actually, the sheer number of pages that link to a thing make that thing more valuable.
Right.
So what happens?
People pay or set up a load of websites to refer to their website so that they can game the system.
Bingo! So you've got fake websites.
Bunch of cuts.
But how do you know?
Yeah.
How does Google Spider
know
that this is fake and this is real?
Link.
Yeah, totally.
But then they could look at how many visits the other websites get.
Ah, but they might not have that information. They might have
it's
that
Google,
information from Google. The other thing that people started to do was they could put, because the web spider indexes the underlying content of the page, like the source code of the page,
right?
Not what's seen, not what we see.
Right.
So if you create a page that says something like, Mike Dean is the best actor in the world.
Sure.
And that one phrase alone is not going to be enough. But then, on your white background, you have a white font that basically says, so-and-so said, Mike Dean won an Oscar. Mike Dean this, blah, 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 blah. None of that content could be seen by the human beings.
Right.
Google reads it. It's in the source code.
Right.
So how does it know? It now has to inspect the thing and be like, well, hang on, is that white text on a white background?
Is it bullshit?
Also, yeah. What's white? I'm a computer.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Ugh, it's just tiresome.
Search engines are hard.
What are other choices again?
Directories, which kind of are harder. That's, but
all right, so it's just a million people coding all the time. So this has got to be a thing that's got to be constantly improved.
Yes. Yeah, so
Google's not done.
No,
they've got to be constantly improving it all the time.
The PageRank algorithm, or the Google algorithm as it's now known,
sure,
is actually updated fairly regularly. I think it's once every 6 months.
So they still use the PageRank algorithm, but it's just not the same. It's like
massively changed since the original PageRank.
It's like, yeah.
And one of the things that they've just rolled out is a focus on promoting pages and websites that have really good mobile performance.
Oh, what, so?
So on a mobile phone,
yeah, so it loads
is your
easily.
Site ready? And no, not even does it load easily, is it usable?
Right.
Because their analysis tools have become so sophisticated, they basically can use the page like a person would.
Right.
And they can see that actually I've got to zoom out, I've got to pinch zoom this site because it's shit.
I know this and one I've got wasn't to deal with the phrases. My, paranoia, but these spiders sound like they're getting a bit smarter from my liking.
Oh, yeah.
Don't like them. I don't want to have to fight a giant robot spider.
Well, we'll come on to that, because first I want to set some context.
It's just a matrix. They were squids, but it's all eight legs, isn't it?
I want to set a bit of context with our amazing fact. So the amazing fact centres around Google.
Shocker.
But just to give you a sense of the scale that we are dealing with, because I don't think you've quite got just how big...
No, I haven't realised quite
how
the
big
scale
this is.
It, yeah. Like, it hurts my brain thinking about it.
Right, so Google's search indexes, the spiders, are at this point, and we have to approximate because they stopped telling us a couple of years ago. They used to give us regular updates, and then they were like, oh, no. They are likely aware of 180 trillion different pages of web content.
So hang on. So that's probably not all of them either.
Nope. And that doesn't include the dark web.
I mean, most of that is Facebook.
Quite a lot of it's Twitter.
Yeah. But yeah, that
lots of tweets.
180 trillion?
Yep.
How many stars are there?
I don't know. How many grains of sand are there on that beach?
Six.
Yeah, okay.
you asked.
So, the other thing is that Alphabet, trillion. Who are Google's holding company,
right,
they're one of the top four biggest companies in the world by market
Google
cap.
Google is owned by somebody.
No, Google was Google for ages, and then about 3-4 years ago, they registered the domain name abc.xyz.
Right.
And then immediately rebranded as Alphabet, because basically, they've got more money than God, and they needed to do something with it.
That's amazing. Yeah, that sounds like me. I've been paid, I've got to spend it. That's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's like, we've got a marketing department. What are we marketing? don't know. Make something up.
We keep
How
doing
about?
Adverts for Google on the TV, but we don't think it's getting it anywhere.
How about we rebrand our corporate entity that nobody cares
thing.
About?
You go to the cinema and see a Google advert, you're like, yeah, no shit, dude. How do you think I found out the time for this film? I love just one person in the crowd like, oh, really?
But even now, with that ridiculous market capitalization and all of those pages, you would think that Google have competition, right? They've got, like, Bing Search and...
I mean, there are competitors, but they're not competitive, is perhaps
well,
how
they,
I would
they
think
are. There are competitors. They may well be competitive.
Are they staunch Bing users? They're the people that use Zoom still, aren't they?
Well, they're the... they're the people who fired up Internet Explorer and never changed a thing.
I've never understood why Google have never got into hardware in a bigger way. Just because they haven't had to.
Well, they kind of made a whole bunch of Android phones.
No, but they're not Apple, though, are they? I mean, they're...
They were, like... Second,
God help
but,
us when that happens, though.
Yeah.
The Google-Apple merger, we're proper fucked.
They were meant to make, like, a VR thing to go on Android. And they were going to build the hardware for
Google
that.
Google Goggles.
And Google Goggles.
That went
amazing.
Well.
So, anyway, let's take the entire market share across the entire world for web searching.
Right.
How much of that market share do you think Google have?
95%.
It's actually a little bit higher. It's 90.14.
90.14%,
give or take, as of February this year.
So there's still 10% of the world using something else.
Only 10% of the world uses something else to search the web.
Yeah, I suppose, why would you? I mean, everybody's homepage is Google, right?
It's open up. So ubiquitous.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that, we have to kind of ask, what does that mean?
Google control all of our decisions because they tell us when we say what restaurant shall I go to, Google tells you.
Yeah, they control what we see. What we learn.
Fucking hell, Rob. I've had such a nice day out here.
No, it's a good thing.
Why are we at the Minkies?
It's a good thing that...
Why did I move to Jersey?
Why are we at the Minkies? Because it's the only place they can't reach us. The drones don't have enough fuel.
Oh, they own it. Just a Google drone lands next to us.
Yeah. That's why we're recording on the helipad. Yeah. There was a stunt, but it's been delayed.
Yeah, it's a bit windy.
Yeah, so they control what we see. And it's a good thing, to be honest, that Google do have... they get a lot of stick for it, but their motto is, don't be evil. The subtext of that is, whilst selling advertising,
but
so...
The thing is, you get to a point where you're not necessarily being evil, but if you're so ubiquitous, it's not necessarily evil, you're just a monopoly. You just are.
Yeah.
So you immediately have a control over 90% of the population that use the internet. So that's not necessarily evil. It's like evil by de facto evil, isn't it? It's like... It's fascism.
If they ever...
like benevolent fascism.
Pretty much. If they ever decide to be evil...
Don't let me talk and come to my own conclusions. Never let me come to my own conclusions. I need to burn my phone.
It's an Apple phone, right?
Doesn't matter.
And what search engine do you use?
I'm moving to the Minkies. I'm staying here.
Interestingly, there are some potential competitors, believe it or not, to Google, who could start to shift that 90%.
Right.
Unfortunately for us, they're all Chinese.
And they're going to get bought out by Google.
So back in the 90s, one of the largest search engines for the Chinese market is a system called Baidu.
Yeah, sure, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so they're still very much going strong in the Chinese market, and I didn't get the breakdown. I'm kind of kicking myself.
Limitations on the internet?
Partially, but also just because, you know, China...
Yeah.
They like doing things differently. There are a lot of them.
So is that the 10%? Just by default of the entire Chinese population using Baidu and not Google, that's the 10%?
That was probably a fairly large portion of it. I didn't get the split, and I would love to actually go back and say...
I don't know what to be scared about now.
You know, but it's, yeah, when you're all-encompassing information overload... that controls 90% of all web traffic, basically, and the next best alternative is the Chinese. Well known for being tolerant of online and free speech, generally.
Famous for that, yeah.
Yes.
There's one thing, it's synonymous. Fucking hell, man.
Right. So what does this mean for the future?
Fucked. So fucked. Find your nearest island without electrics... You know, electrics, that's the term. And...
Basically, we need to become mole people living in bunkers.
There's nowhere deep enough. You'd have to dig past their
cables. Are you saying there ain't no bunker deep enough?
Ain't no bunker deep enough.
No, seriously, there is some interesting development stuff coming up. Multilingual being one, because Google do a very good job and have spent a lot of time working with different languages.
Like translate this page and all that stuff.
And if you think about it, again, thinking back to the whole like natural language element of searching, that's very different depending on which language you're speaking.
Phraseology is so different.
Yeah, sure, totally. And as a result, multilingualism is increasingly challenging.
Yeah.
As is cultural fit.
Sure.
And I'm trying to find a way to make an example of this without being incredibly racist. So I'm not going to.
Let's just move on then. Look it up. Do you know what? If you want to know what cultural fit is, Google it.
But yeah, so the big examples being that there are like Islamic language search engines.
Right.
So Muslim search engines that are more aligned with a certain worldview.
So that would that have a cultural... filter, if you will, that won't throw up certain...
Yeah, effectively.
Right, yeah. Like the porn filter on Google.
So if you search for a hot bird on Google, you will get bikini pics. If you search for a hot bird on a Muslim search engine, you'll get a chicken in a greenhouse.
I thought you said you weren't going to be racist.
I nearly said Yashmak. That would have been really racist.
Hey. It's all fun. We're all having a good time.
Right, so just checking the tally, by the way, because we've only got a few letters left. Who haven't we pissed off in this podcast?
The Nintendo one was bad.
What's getting even more interesting is that people are starting to use different interfaces to these, because we think of Google and you sit down and you type.
Yeah.
Except increasingly, people are trying to convince us, with varying degrees of success, to not type. We talk.
Siri and Alexa.
Siri,
and all that
Alexa, OK Google.
Yeah.
By the way, if I just triggered your OK Google device, then, hey,
just
Alexa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there.
Xbox on. That's the thing.
Is
that was
it?
The thing. So they had a thing when they did the Xbox adverts. It was Aaron Paul saying, hello, Xbox, or Xbox on, or something. And loads of people were having trouble because they were watching TV, and Aaron Paul would come on the advert and say, Xbox on, and it would turn on their Xbox.
You know, that wasn't why they got in trouble.
No.
They got in trouble because they subcoded that advert with, it was subsonic or supersonic frequencies.
Oh, to do it on purpose.
That the Xbox would automatically recognise.
Okay, well, that is actual legit evil.
Yeah.
I mean, in a very small way. Oh, no, my Xbox is on, but still.
But I was watching this programme, and it was an ad break, and now the Xbox is on. It's changed over. I've got to find the remote.
No.
Or just shout at my telly. I mean, vocal interaction with search engines is actually, surprisingly, a lot of the stuff's been solved. Because the way that we're encouraged to interact with the search engine textually. Is exactly the same. We're encouraged to ask it questions.
Yeah.
Where should I go for dinner tomorrow? Blah.
Where's a good place to bury a body? All those jokey things you ask Siri. Yeah, sure. Tell me a joke.
What's going to get more interesting as we kind of move on is the different types of content that we're now having to search. And if you think back to, like, the personal assistant thing, where you're querying data, but you're not necessarily asking for web results. Siri, where did I park my car?
Yeah.
Because Siri is basically what they renamed Dude.
If you've got a GPS thing in your car, there's no reason. I didn't get that, I'm sorry.
Dude, where's my car?
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean... oh, you, Robbie. Yeah.
The idea of
different
different sources,
yeah,
and the ability to index different sources. So, say for example, at the moment, you want to find out, you know, like the best pizza recipe. You're restricted to pages that have textual content.
Right.
But what if that pizza recipe is in a making of on YouTube?
Well, it does throw up YouTube. Oh, but that's because it's called How to Make Pizza Dough or something.
Yeah. Also, because Google own YouTube, but they're trying to work out how that they can analyze vocal spoken content.
See, that would be well good for things like songs and movies and stuff.
Yeah, visual content.
I'm always thinking, like, where is this quote from? If I could say that into my phone and it says, it's from this film, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, it might just say, there's a script for this movie. But if it could do that and say, oh, if you like that, you should go on Google Play and you will want this film.
Here's the download for Debbie Does Dallas 13.
Amazing. Yeah, really good. Harder, harder, harder. That'd be good.
And the thing
here
is,
here are 400,000,000,000 results. Oh, okay, perfect.
The Islam search engine, meanwhile, has just wandered off and gone
just
and sat in a corner.
One dude learning how to drive posts into the ground.
That's it. The inevitable evolution of content on the web means that this is only going to get harder. So we have virtual reality, we have tiny devices, the idea that potentially you might want to search the contents of your smart kitchen to know, Google, where is the flour? Where did she put the fucking flour?
How many peppers have I got in the fridge?
Yeah. So all of this and more.
Just put a camera in the fridge, you could scan it and you could program it with the shape of a pepper.
It's dark in the fridge, Mike. The light only comes on when you open the door.
Okay, are you seriously telling me that they can't make technology that doesn't turn the light off when you shut the fridge? Google is fine, but that's...
Do you have any idea how hot your fridge is going to get with that light on? It's not going to be a fridge.
I think tactical fireflies.
Good. Awesome. So in summary...
It's getting off the rails.
That's,
going, yeah.
That's search engines. Any questions?
Well, yeah, but we haven't... Well, we have, but we don't want to spend all day talking. But, I mean... So basically... In order for a search engine to work, every facet of your life on the internet is in some way recorded somewhere, and it's drawn on your experiences. Yeah. It just, yeah, it's benevolent fascism. Fuck. This has been another terrifying tech segment for We're Drunk and We Know Things. We're still on the Minkies because, well, we are till the tide comes back in. We're still drinking Doombar and Brewdog. I'm scared. I'm scared. And I love you. Next month we'll be doing S. No, we won't. We've done S. We're doing T. Start again.
If you're ever in an argument, can't get to the bottom of it, can't find a resolution, you want to know what I do? I Google it, homie. If you're in a dispute, then Google it, homie.
If you got a problem, then Google it, homie. If you have a question, then Google it, homie. And if you don't know me, then Google me, homie.
Hello, and welcome to the tech segment of We're Drunk and We Know Thing, baby!
God damn it, I broke the seal. Which, when you're on an island, is...
which, admittedly, has got the most famous bog in the Channel Islands, but...
I'm not using it.
No, nor am I. I'd rather piss off a rock than piss into a rock.
I just don't like the whole bucket
scenario. Write that down, I want it on my gravestone. Mike Dean, he'd rather piss off a rock than into a rock. Also, he was Spider-Man. Yeah, you go in there, the vibrations, that makes a diaphragm vibrate.
He's
and then
diaphragm.
He's like, doodle, 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 and then it fires it down.